morning and thanks for being here. Okay, so I work in a local health department, and just give you a brief description of San Mateo County. So we are located in between San Francisco County and Santa Clara County, which is San Jose, to the south of us. So basically my project was, considering all the limitations of PID surveillance, there is kind of a methodological way to evaluate it. And this is what I was trying to do here. And these are based from the CDC updated guidelines for evaluating public health surveillance. It's in the MMWR. There's a lot of other metrics and descriptions of the system that's kind of been alluded to already from the other presenters. But what I'm focusing on here is what I think are the key, let's say, metrics of how surveillance should work. And this is all passive case reporting. And where the two big ones are sensitivity and representativeness. So in order to get at sensitivity, you need some sort of denominator. And considering what PID surveillance is, it's very, really hard to get to the actual gold standard. So we kind of have to create something as a way to gauge how our surveillance system is doing. And the method that I'm going to present to you today is called capture-recapture methodology. And just a brief overview, it was initially developed in ecology. It's about 200 years old, and it was initially designed to estimate animals within a large population. So it's been around for a while. It was adapted to epidemiology. I'd say it's probably 30 years old, at least some major articles on it. So the key theoretical assumptions for this to work is that the two data sets are independent. So if a patient, basically it is, if a patient's independently in two data sets, we can basically get an estimate for the whole population. So the data sets are independent, and the probabilities of a patient being in two data sets are equal. From that, you can derive an equal odds for each, and then an odds ratio equal to one. So based on that, you can construct a 2x2 table, knowing that the odds ratio is one. And as this shows, the values in A, B, and C are known. So A is the ones that actually match. They're in both data sets. B are the ones that are in data set or source one, but not in data source two. And C is that are not in data source one, but in data source two. And basically, we're just solving for D, knowing that the odds ratio is one, theoretically. So the table I constructed then was based on our passive case reporting of PID. And that, in San Mateo County, we have something called AVIS, not so much anymore. But for in 2007, thankfully, we'll get that later. But so we have this that. Basically, that's what our database is of confirmed cases of PID that we think meet the definition. And second, what I'm comparing this to is hospital discharge data. This is from the California Office of Statewide Health Planning and Development. Now, this is what I have access to is all San Mateo County residents discharged from all hospitals in California. So this is what I'm comparing. And so what I did with these data sets was the first instance. Probably significant limitation is I only have access to names and date of births of those in the San Mateo County Health System. So only those seen at the hospital and emergency department. That's what I had access to complete cell A, to do like the actual matching. But I could rule out, I had access to demographics, and I could rule out cases based on demographics in the two data sets. So I could do B and C based on race, ethnicity, age, and the zip code of residence. So doing that and taking the discharge data, we just interpreted ICD-9 codes based on, we were looking for PID most likely to be of STI etiology. Sometimes it's clear and sometimes it isn't. But that's just an overview of the methods. And so this is what I came up with. Fortunately for this project, I was only able to find matches in the San Mateo County Emergency Department. So I could do actual matches and that was it. So and I came up with three matches, and that's in cell A. So based on that, we get about 50 case reports from providers in the year, and there was 116 discharges for PID that we thought to be most likely of STI etiology. So from that, we came with an estimate of about 1,400 or 1,500 cases of PID per year. And there's a note the confidence interval, it's pretty wide, but I can discuss that later. So one thing too, because I had such a small number, the authors that paper I'm using recommended adding one when you're dividing to adjust for small numbers. So that's just an adjustment, but for the row and column totals, I used three, but divided by four. So now we get to the key metric here, knowing what we get passively And what we think the number of estimated cases are, you know, we come with a sensitivity about 3.4%, which is not great. But again, this is where we are. And again, ideally, better surveillance systems and more action and other things would hopefully improve this metric. And basically from this, we only have one where to go, which is up, which is good. So the next issue is representativeness. So understanding the sensitivity was what it is, what we think it is. It's the data we have, and we need to, you know, discuss this issue. You know, it's what we have right now. So one thing that I tried to do was to just see how close I was with another estimate. And it's nice if two methods can come with something in the ballpark. I wasn't looking for exact. This is based on Sutton's work, and I just took the rate divided by the U.S. female population. I took our estimated cases divided by the female population, and I came up with something in the ballpark. So, I mean, if I was off by an order of magnitude, it might be a different story. I know there's significant limitations. I'm comparing estimates of estimates, but, you know, it's helpful. I mean, we're close. It might say something, and it gives a little bit more credence to this method considering all the limitations. So just based on cases and hospitalizations, we note that the rates are highest in the 25 to 34 age group. So that's somewhat consistent with what we've seen from the other presenters, some of the Mallorca things. And one thing about race ethnicity, so we're seeing a huge disparity among African Americans and Latinas. Now, one problem, and this is, I think, needs to more important discussion, where we're getting to issues of disparity. The way that the two data sets are structured, race and ethnicity is one variable on the AVIS, but in discharge data, it's two. So as we go back and look and try to improve the system, we need to look at how, I mean, I think that the other and unknown is mainly driven by people identifying Hispanic ethnicity. So that's something that we need to kind of look at. What is the impact of that and how do we change that? This is a significant limitation of administrative data sets, and it's something that needs to be looked at more closely. So the limitations, as I said before, I only had access to names in the San Mateo County Health System. Now, providers in the hospital probably have the same challenges as providers elsewhere, but since we're under technically the same umbrella, there are issues of maybe we're not getting an odds ratio equal to one. And I'm not sure what that is, but that's something we need to consider as we're doing this. I think that someone seen at the ED is probably maybe a better likelihood of being reported to the health department. So based on the math, maybe our estimate is conservative. But again, that's something as a system would improve. You know, we could look at that some more. Obviously, small numbers, we have a wide confidence interval. So it could be anywhere from, you know, 800 to about 3,000 cases. So again, I mean, this is limitations of dealing with small numbers. The race ethnicity that I was discussing. And another point about at least San Mateo County is that a significant proportion of the passive surveillance cases came from one provider, one group. It was a Planned Parenthood clinic that was providing most of the cases. So again, this just shows that probably we need to engage the community, medical community more to recruit more providers, you know, for better representation of the county. And obviously the limitations of IC9 code interpretation for administrative data sets, chart review would be the ideal. So for conclusions and recommendations, so based on where our surveillance was in San Mateo County, capture-recapture, I think, is pretty simple and effective to just get a ballpark and begin the discussion of as how much does it need to be improved and hopefully getting to how can we do it. So based on low sensitivity, some of the solutions perhaps are just, you know, again, better provider recruitment, collaboration, education, and awareness. Other administrative data sets we would like to be able to get access to, other providers. Maybe we could look at insurance claims data, that type of thing. And the bigger question is certainly standardized race and ethnicity reporting. It probably needs to be a little bit improved than where we're at today. But that's there's been some other discussions, other meetings in San Francisco kind of tackling this issue. And so as the system improves and hopefully interventions will take place within time, the reported PID will approach the estimated value. So if you have more data sets, you can do more matches of tables. I just provided one, and you can do several matches of combinations of tables to come up with different estimates. Now, if you adjust it for the population, I think theoretically we could have more estimates that if they centered around a value, it would kind of show to the better quality of data. So that's basically it. Any questions?
wondering though, with the premise being that there's an equal likelihood of a patient showing up in both data systems,
mm-hmm.
how realistic do you think that is given the traditional community and how important is that? Like, I mean, because it seems like that's kind of the basis of the whole ethics.
Right. Right. So the question was, how do I basically believe the basic theoretical assumptions of this method? So as I was looking at it, I think right now, I mean, it just kind of depends what type of provider is reporting. And again, with chart review, we could maybe get a better sense of what were the conditions upon which these patients ended up in both data sets. Because they were seen at a clinic setting. I mean, all three of them were. And also, they were seen at the hospital. So I would. This is something I kind of would be my next step in this, is trying to explore this assumption some more. Is a provider, do they take a public health course in medical school? Are they aware of the importance of case surveillance? I mean, would that affect it? Or is it just a random chance that the provider would think to report? I mean, those are the types of questions. And under what umbrella is the organization? Or, I mean, there's a lot of variables to that. Sure.
But I would assume
that's
a subset of
cases. Right. Yes. And the thing is, we weren't like matching like I think there would be a lot more bias to say if we were matching like EDs to EDs. But again, we were matching what was reported. So they were seen at a clinic, and then they were sent to the hospital for some reason. So just a little more background. Of the three cases, two of them had the case report sent to us and were seen in the hospital in the same month. But someone else, there was like a 3-month time lag between the two. So, I mean, that's just something I don't really know. But, I mean, it's very important to look at that. You know, I mean, you're right. This is a very important assumption that someone in the county has equal probability of being in data sets. And one of the things, probably the best solution is as many data sets representative of the population as possible. So insurance, clinic, insurance, hospital, you know, might be able to, I mean, that's why the authors recommend constructing as many tables as possible to try and get beyond, you know, again, like some of the limitations. So, thank you.
Thanks.